Hi, this
Blog
is
Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Angela Doctor, and I will be your host today on The Awakening. I'm stepping in for Lucretia Hayes, and today I have the opportunity to speak with Kiana Budd, and she is a Lonico Media House author. She is the author of The Pivotal Relationship, and we are going to speak today on domestic violence, which is a topic near and dear to Kiana's heart. And October happens to be Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so we hope to bring to you an enlightening conversation on this hard topic. Let's see if we have Kiana with me. Kiana, can you hear me now?
Hi, Kiana. Hi, Angela. How are you?
That's okay. At least we made it here.
Yes.
Thanks for being here with me today. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your patience getting this up and running.
No problem.
October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I just was hoping that you could share a little bit about why this topic is so near and dear to your heart and so important to you.
It's important to me for a couple of reasons. One, as you mentioned, I am a domestic violence survivor myself. I also, know of other domestic violence relationships that were in my family, to include losing an aunt to the hands of her abuser. So, just between incidents that have occurred in my family and then also myself personally, at some point, once I had my experience, I decided it was definitely time to start talking more publicly about this issue.
Okay. How has it affected you personally? Do you mind sharing or?
Well, again, like I said, my first encounter was when I lost my aunt. Her estranged husband had killed her when she was in the process of trying to move away to distance herself from him, and I guess he found out. That was the first time, I knew of domestic violence, because that's when I found out that, I guess, he had been abusing her, and they were already separated, but he was still harassing her and, just making threats towards her and everything like that. So I guess once he found out that she was really trying to move away, he killed her. But then I had my own situation where I was in an abusive relationship, and I actually honestly was in denial about it until actually I got out. I knew it was an unhealthy relationship. I knew that a lot of things that had happened were not things that were supposed to happen in a relationship, but I think because of the ups and downs of the relationship and people's opinions, not really understanding what was really going on, it was just hard to kind of just grasp the reality that I was being abused. And yes, there was physical abuse, but it was definitely a lot more verbal and mental and emotional abuse. So once I learned that verbal, mental, and emotional abuse exists, that's when, I really start wanting to learn more about it. And I realized that if I don't know much about it myself, even having been experienced, then I can only imagine a lot of other people out here who are not really aware of all the inner workings of domestic abuse and what it all entails. So At some point, I just got to the space where I realized, I wanted to, my first experience or opportunity to share my story was through a women's Bible class at a church that I was attending or a member of in Detroit when I was going through my healing process. And, she wanted us to write a story about something that we felt like God, helped us overcome. And so I wrote a short story about that experience. And it seemed like that's when my eyes were really open as far as how prevalent domestic violence is just around me, and how big of a issue, how big of a topic it is just for people to start talking, because a lot of people really took to me after reading that story and, you know, start to share. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, had questions, and not the type of questions like they were being nosy, but just wanting to know more about domestic violence and what it is and how it affects all of us. And so that's when I started learning even more about situations around me. That's when I had another, you know, relative, you know, let me know that she was also in an abusive relationship not long after our aunt was killed. So it was like, it seemed like everybody's stories, people around me, was just starting to come out just from me writing that short story. So I thought, wow, if this is, this short story creates this kind of buzz, I can only imagine if, you know, I expand my platform to share more, what kind of buzz that will start.
And there really is some truth when we say that silence keeps us, is part of what keeps us trapped, because as soon as we do open up and start sharing, we can find out that, you know, there, we're not alone. That the silence makes us believe that we're alone, and that there's, you know, no way out, and there, you know, we carry that shame, and, you know, we carry that fear surrounding that. So opening up and starting to share that, we find out that, you know, violence is, or abuse is, so much more common than anybody, you know, is aware of it until they start opening up and start talking about that. So that's an important
piece. Very, very true. That was because I think that for me, even to this day, I still try to have discussions with my family, because I feel like to this day, whether it's the information they know about me to my aunt and other relatives, I'm like, even as a family, we still don't talk about it much. And it's just, now it's my mission to get people to the position where they're comfortable talking about it, whether you're in a victim or you're just somebody that needs to support a victim, or you're an abuser yourself. But I'm just learning that the less that we talk about it, the bigger the problem becomes, and everybody is affected. It doesn't really matter if you're actually being abused or you're the abuser, but even people around you are affected by domestic violence. So it is definitely something that I really am trying to get people to get to a comfort level of learning how to be able to just communicate more with their families and their friends and even their colleagues about this particular issue.
You know, and talking about it too, I just want to share from an experience that I had, that talking about it is hard, but, you know, a lot of people think, well, if you're really over it, we shouldn't talk about it. And what I like to share is, you know, if I'm really over it, if I've really worked through it, you know, not just this issue, but a lot of other issues, is that we don't have to sit around and discuss it all the time, but it doesn't mean it has to be the black elephant in the room either. But if it does come up, if there is a situation, if I am sharing my story on or testimony with somebody, or if somebody does make a remark that infers that time period, that, you know, the healing shows that we can talk about it, not that we have to avoid it as if it never happened.
Right, right. And I think, honestly, I think that for me, it's possible that I might have even avoided being in the situation I was in had we all even had a family meeting about what happened to my aunt. You know what I'm saying? And even probably other relatives that may have been in a similar situation. So for me, even now, even though my children are young, you know, I have already started the discussions with them, because I feel like that was one of the things that I didn't get as a child, was just talking about, you know, that type of abuse. You know, yes, sometimes parents may tell you not, you know, about the sexual abuse and making sure nobody touches you in certain places, but I think that if you address abuse in its totality and help, you know, people and your children understand that there's different types of abuse that mm-hmm. you have to look out for and try to avoid if possible. And if it's not avoided, these are the things that you need to do to get help, you know. So
right.
You're right. I mean, I think that people just think that, oh, okay, well, this happened, it's over, let's not bring it back up. But that's, to me, an opportunity to speak from an educational perspective. At least let's say, hey, if we don't know enough about this, then let's go find out more information so that we can hopefully prevent this from happening from someone else that we know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so there is this huge disconnect that I have seen, and I'm sure you have seen too, between the church and domestic violence, or, you know, just abuse in general, even just where we just don't talk about the fact that there are Christians sitting in the pews, you know, Bible-believing, professing Christians sitting in the pews every Sunday, and they can quote scripture, and they can pray with the best of them, and, you know, they know how to use those things that are supposed to be for glory and for strengthening to actually, you know, for hurt and to tear down and for control or manipulation. Do you see that there is a disconnect as well?
Definitely. I was actually born and raised in a church. So for me, I think, again, that was one of the major breakdowns into as to why domestic violence seeped into our family and certain family members' lives. And, again, like I said, even to this day, it still hasn't been addressed because my family's position has just always been to keep quiet and just pray about it. You know, and it's like, yes, we can pray. I have a walk with God. You know, I strayed away for a little bit, but even with me, you know, getting back to my Christian walk, I came in with a new perspective of realizing that, yes, God is here. He's real. He can work out some miraculous things in our lives. But at the same time, he realizes that we're human. He created us to be humans. Therefore, we're imperfect. And we live in a society where there's imperfections and issues that we're going to face every day. And the reality is we have to be able to position ourselves to use our common sense and our abilities to try to get more information and get more educated and seek the help. You know, I was just talking to a women's ministry group on Saturday about domestic violence, and, you know, one of the ladies actually happened to bring that up, you know, that is just not addressed enough in the church. And I was just explaining, you know, how God created all of us with special gifts and talents. That's why you have doctors. That's why you have lawyers. That's why you have psychologists. You know, you have people that work in different fields that are positioned to help people. And so I'm like, God allowed us all to have these skills and talents to work these particular jobs, to pour into others. So with that said, we should be able to use those resources and not just say, oh, as long as we pray about it, the issue is no longer existed. And that's just not true. You know, sometimes, you know, God created the world of psychology because he knew that people would need therapy. People would need counseling for things like this. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have to get to a space where we're willing to do more than just saying, oh, pray about it and don't worry about it. But then the other issue is, I think that the reason why I think some of the churches don't want to really bring up domestic violence to a real in-depth conversation is because some of our leaders are guilty of being abusers. I mean, I hate to put it out there, but that's the truth. And I know that that's one of the reasons why, you know, they don't want to really touch on it, because at that point you're going down their street and you're going to touch some open wounds there. But, you know, a lot of people are in denial. You know, I actually have known of some abusive relationships in the church. And even when the victim expressed the need for help and or the desire to want to sever the relationship, the church has a lot of churches believe in a doctrine of no divorce. And that's for a lot of different religions. Mm-hmm. A lot of different religions are strongly against divorce. So with that, you know, if a woman or even a man express that they're in an unhealthy relationship and they want to sever those ties, they're automatically shunned or treated like, you know, they're the worst person in the world because they want to leave this unhealthy relationship, or they're told that they just need to work it out and pray and let God heal the abuser. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's just not that easy. It really isn't. One, a lot of us don't even have strong enough prayer lives to pray something like that away. So the reality is to say just pray it away, is that's just not going to happen. Not to say that, you know, God is not good, not to say that God is not powerful, but at the end of the day, if you don't even know how to pray or what to pray for, what's going to happen, you know? So,
Right. Plus, you have to get them on the same page at the same time. I mean, the abuser has to want to seek help, has to want to be truly repentant, because a victim can love them with everything that they have and every breath, and they can want it to go away. They can want it to change. They can fully believe, you know, without any doubt in their heart that God is able to, you know, help heal the situation and remove that, you know, sin of abuse out of the perpetrator's life, which he fully is. But unless you get the abuser on the same page and they want that in their own life, you know, they have to want that for themselves too. So there's just so many factors that go into it. And not to mention that I don't believe that God called anybody to stay in, you know, an unsafe or unhealthy situation. I don't think that it was his design when he created, you know, man and woman to be together. Is that I know we're all sinners. I know we all fall, but I don't see anywhere in his plan where it was that we were to stay and be unhealthy and unsafe and continue to do that, you know. So I think there's grace and mercy for divorce just as much as there is grace and mercy and forgiveness for, you know, perpetrators who are abusing. Right. So,
Yes. I mean, you're right. I mean, when you look at, you know, different scriptures that talk about marriage, there's nothing in there that says you have to stay and tolerate being abused. Marriage is described as a union of love, unconditional love, mm-hmm. and in that mm-hmm. love, there's honor, there's respect, you know, and then that's when they even go into, you know, things of not committing adultery and just different things. So it shows you that two people are supposed to be together, and not only are they supposed to be in love, but they're supposed to honor each other, they're supposed to respect each other, mm-hmm. and abuse does not speak to that at all. So the reality is, you know, I think a lot of people tend to want to stick to certain scriptures to try to justify certain things, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't. The reality is there are certain issues that go on in this world, in this modern day, that are more prevalent than they were in the Bible days. So we have to sometimes realize that, yes, the Bible is definitely our guide for our spiritual journey, but there are some things that hadn't necessarily been talked about enough in the Bible because it wasn't happening like it is here, you know, right now in the mm-hmm. present day.
Right.
So sometimes we have to be realistic in saying that, you know, that's where we have to seek, you know, God for more wisdom and guidance and understanding about, you know, how to handle the current day situations.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, as far as the abuser is concerned, a lot of times, you know, some of them may not want help. They may feel like, you know, a lot of them don't feel like there's nothing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, because their focus is to be in the blame game of making
right.
the victim feel like they asked for it or they deserve, you know, certain behaviors from them. So, you know, a lot of times I actually worked with abusers, and unfortunately, you know, every abuser I worked with was forced through the legal system to participate in an intervention program, which is an awesome program. I actually strongly believe in that, but unfortunately they had to go by law. You know, that was part of their probation. In order for them to be released from probation, they had to do that. And so it's unfortunate that they have to be treated like kids to get it, but once they go through it, I have definitely seen, you know, certain individuals turn around and definitely see the error of their ways, and they learn a lot, because at the end of the day, a lot of times abusers don't even understand abuse. They're doing it, but they don't understand. They don't understand sometimes the core roots of abuse. They don't understand what abusive behaviors are. You know, so a lot of times people think that things that they do are just ways of expressing anger or frustration or in an argument with their significant other, but they don't realize that's considered an abusive behavior. So things such as yelling, screaming, damaging property, you know, any of those type of behaviors during an argument, that's still considered abusive behaviors, even if you're not a full-fledged abuser. I think that we're all at some point guilty of displaying some type of abusive behavior. And the problem is when it gets too excessive, then it becomes a form of abuse because it's too consistent. So I think that that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand the different layers of abuse and,
yep.
you know, how it can get from one situation to an extreme situation. So, you know, I think, again, a lot of it is just lack of education, lack of understanding.
Yeah. And a couple of points on that. I've studied the cycle of abuse as well, just in my coaching with people and just some personal things in my own life. And it is true that sometimes it's just an education that the abuser doesn't know that it is abuse because they grew up with it. So to them, if they're not out of it, if they've never stepped out of it, they don't know any better. And so it is just an educational piece sometimes too on that part. But also that I forgot what my other point was. My mind was racing the whole time you were talking. But also, too, you know, a lot of times abusers will say, you know, oh, I didn't hurt you, or that didn't hurt, or that was nothing, or it wasn't that bad, or whatever. But I think when, you know, I was always taught that when you offend or hurt somebody and they come to you and say, that hurt me, or that offended me, or, you know, that hurt my spirit or hurt my feelings, or however it's worded to you, that if you're the one being told that you caused that pain to somebody, you don't get to say, no, I didn't, or it wasn't that bad. You know, it's your job at that point to sit and to listen and to decide, you know, if you're going to be repentant or not. And that's a decision that the person who did it has to make. You know, they have the choice to be repentant, to be open to receiving that caused somebody else pain or not, you know, and that's something that a victim can't make or control. The person who hurt them, you know, want that forgiveness. And so, I mean, you can hope they will, but you can't actually choose that for them. So, it's just important to continue to open up all of these discussions so that we just continue to understand the cycle that is going on.
Correct. So, I definitely... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh. So, no, I mean, like you said, it's definitely, you know, as you learn more, you grow, you understand, you know how to actually address the issue. For me, like I said, I learned a lot when I decided, once I discovered my purpose, first of all, and that part of my purpose was to help, you know, educate and work with the domestic violence population. But once I actually got in the field and start working, you know, at different nonprofit organizations, social services agencies, I learned a lot more that I didn't know. I remember even one time I was working, my very first job working in that field, I was still dealing with some things with my former abuser because we have children. And I didn't realize even then. I was like, oh, my God. I was reading some material, and they were talking about different types of abuse. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm still being abused. Here I am. I'm thinking I'm free. I'm out of this relationship. We're divorced. But I didn't realize that even the things he had been doing in relation to constantly, you know, trying to go to court for just little minor things and manipulating, trying to manipulate the system and even manipulate me through the system, I was like, that's a form of abuse. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. He was still abusing me, you know, because there would be times he would file motions and we would get to court and he was like, oh, I changed my mind. Or he would be a no-show. Like, he just wanted to, like, control me, you know, as far as my work activity and, you know, making me feel like if I didn't do what he wanted me to do, even in relation to certain parenting agreements, he would try to control me through the court system. And so it wasn't even until then that I had to realize, once I realized what was going on and I got my power back, like, look, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid of you anymore. You know, you want to take me to court, guess what? And if I'm not available and I know it's an issue that's irrelevant, I'm not going to keep taking off of work and possibly losing my job for this. You know, so once I started taking my power back, even in that, he stopped. He couldn't even do that anymore. So I realized, wow, like you really have to learn how to take your power back and let this person know that they are not allowed to have control over your life, because that's what abuse really is. It's a power issue. It's a control issue that that person has. They want to control another human being's life. And so that's where, you know, the different types of abuse comes in, because at the end of the day, some abusers realize they can't necessarily control a person 100% just by beating on them, but they can control them financially. They can control them sexually. They can control them with isolation. They can control them by verbal abuse and emotional abuse. So it's like they figure out other ways they can actually beat you down mentally, emotionally, to make you feel like you deserve anything that that person wants to give you.
And I just want to say here, we have about 4 minutes left in the show, and just if you're listening in and, you know, something that we're talking about or speaking about is kind of raising some eyebrows or touching a nerve, or if it just kind of has your, you know, wheels turning in your mind and you wonder, hey, you know, I think I've been kind of losing my mind and maybe I'm not, you know, maybe something in my relationship really isn't right. You know, there abuse doesn't look the same on any two different people or in any two different situations. There's so many factors and signs and symptoms, and I just encourage you to go ahead and research, you know. But I want to also say, too, as an adult survivor of childhood abuse, I just want to share just briefly that raising my children, I knew that I was not, quote, unquote, at times a normal parent. And so as I worked on healing pieces of that aspect of my life, I had a kind of an inner core of other women who I trusted their opinions. And so if a question came up in my mind about parenting, about, you know, am I being paranoid? Am I being too overprotective? Am I handling this right or wrong? I would have somebody that I knew and that I trusted their wisdom and their judgment. And I could just say, you know, this is what it feels like that I should be doing as a parent, but I'm not sure that's accurate. I was able to see that, you know, my life experience kind of altered altered me as a person in some ways. And so it is perfectly okay to get an inner core of, you know, men or women, whoever you're comfortable with, to run scenarios by, you know, and perhaps you do that too, you know, now that you're coming out of it and just saying, you know, wow, I'm figuring out what normal actually is when I didn't really know. And so I'm having those trusted inner people next to you in your life that you can bounce those situations off of is helpful. At least I found it was helpful for me.
It is. It's definitely helpful to have, you know, a support group. But that's why, again, education is important, because education is not just for the victim or the abuser. The education is for everyone, because people need to know how to support their loved ones who are going through it. So you may not be in an abusive relationship, you may not be an abuser, and you may never experience that type of situation, but there's someone that you know around you that is, and you have to know how to interact with that person. One, the number one rule is a no judgment zone. Make sure you never make that person feel like you're judging them and you're criticizing them for not leaving, and when you think they should leave or how you think they should handle certain situations. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to support that person, love them, let them know that you're there no matter what, and that you're willing to do whatever it takes to help them make that transition out. And then even once they get out, you know, help them in their emotional healing process, because it's going to take a while. Some people, it takes years to heal from an abusive relationship, especially depending on how bad the abuse was. So, you know, you have to just be willing to be there, be supportive, and like you said, and help out and just make them, you know, help them know that, you know, they're not alone in their transition.
Yep. We have just about 20 seconds left. Is there anything else that you want to add just in these final moments?
Get help. And like I said, if you're not in an abusive relationship, definitely still learn more about it. I encourage everyone to learn as much as you can so that you can know how to deal with domestic violence and hopefully share the knowledge with others so that we can address this issue. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.